This is The Guardian. Hi, Regid Ahmed here, coming to you from Gadigal land. Today we're bringing you the newly launched video podcast, Stateside, from The Guardian US. In an American media landscape dominated by reactive, surface-level coverage, hosts Kai Wright and Carter Sherman are making sense of the news. You'll find this podcast regularly on your YouTube feed. But in this first episode, Kai speaks to voting rights advocate and former Georgia state legislator Stacey Abrams as they interrogate the gutting of the U.S. Voting Rights Act.
My nieces and nephews, they are the first generation to lose civil rights since Reconstruction. This is evil, but it's also so pedestrian. They can't win on their ideas, and so their solution is to silence the other side. But this time what they have done is misread the moment. And that's the part that gives me not optimism, but determination. Optimism says, I'm sure we'll win. Determination says, I'm going to win.
I'm Kai Wright.
I'm Carter Sherman.
And from The Guardian, this is Stateside. Carter, here we are. It is the first episode of Stateside.
I know. I'm so excited. I feel like over the last few years, I have just felt so overwhelmed by the news.
Yeah.
Something happens and I have all these questions. Why is this happening? Who's responsible for it? Generally, I want to know how we can make it stop.
Right.
And one of the things I've been doing to try to get those answers is I go to my colleagues at The Guardian and I ask them these questions, and they've been able to tell me what they think. But I see the show as an opportunity to bring their expertise to a broader audience, to help other people get these answers. And frankly, for you and I to also go to some of the world's biggest thinkers and put questions to them.
So that's what we're doing here. And, you know, I really want to start today with a story that I have so many questions about because it has moved really, really quickly. And that is the Supreme Court's gutting of the Voting Rights Act.
In Louisiana v. Calais.
In Louisiana v. Calais. And over the past, in particular, week or so, watching Tennessee, you know, I know you're watching it too. It's just been really dramatic to see this, you know, the state legislature immediately move into gear to erase the last remaining. There's one black majority black ticket district where was, and now it's gone.
It was wild to just like see them do exactly the thing that people have been worried about them doing.
Exactly.
Just immediately, no pretense of even saying, oh no, we're not going to do this
overnight. And I have to say, on a personal level, you know, I was born in 1973. So I am the first generation of black people to grow up in democracy. Right. Like and all of these laws that were passed in the 1960s as the culmination of the civil rights movement, it is not an overstatement to say they have shaped almost everything about my life, where I went to school, my ability to be here hosting this show with you, and certainly my participation in democracy. And it just feels like, it feels like those things are not going to be around for the next generation of black people, which means the next generation of the United States as well.
It's so stark to hear you say that, because I think Americans love to think that we have always been a democracy,
right?
That we have started this grand project 300 years ago and we've lived up to those promises that were made by the founders. And the truth is, we have just not. And in fact, in many ways, we're moving backwards from fulfilling those promises.
Yeah. And so just to make sure everybody's on the same page about this ruling we're talking about, the Supreme Court cuts the Voting Rights Act the way it did that. It's really been two rulings. The Voting Rights Act had this sort of prevention and treatment model of enforcement. And the prevention was that, you know, if you were a place that was established to have racist voting laws, that was established, whether it was a local jurisdiction or a state, you had to get clearance from the federal government before you changed your voting rights.
You had to basically go to them and say, is this okay, or are we being racist again?
Correct. They got rid of, Supreme Court overruled that back in 2013, threw that part of the law out. And then now, a couple of weeks ago, they turned to the treatment part of the Voting Rights Act, which was to say, if you or I, a citizen, says, I have been disenfranchised illegally, I feel like that this law, this rule has a racist outcome, and so I'm going to sue to get a remedy. They have also now gotten rid of that by saying that in order to sue, I have to prove that there was an explicit intentional racism involved in writing the law, that the purpose of it was to disenfranchise me, not just that the outcome of it was
Right. Because famously, when people are being racist, they usually say out loud, hey, I'm being racist right now, and I want the world to know.
You know, and so as a consequence of that, with these two rulings, the Voting Rights Act is a dead letter law at this point.
You brought up Tennessee earlier, but I just want to say, like, this ruling has thrown the midterm elections across the South into total chaos. In Louisiana, which was the home of this lawsuit, this Louisiana governor has actually paused the state's congressional primary elections, which was actually already in progress, which means that tens of thousands of ballots have now been thrown into legal limbo. And incredibly, the Supreme Court has actually waded into this issue again, ruling that Alabama can use an old map in this year's midterms, even though this exact same map they used to say violated the Voting Rights Act.
You know,
you can't make this up.
You can't make this stuff up. And it's useful to think about history as we watch this unfold, because it's not just a question of partisanship. This is not about Democrats versus Republicans. I mean, we have to remember that there was no democracy. We didn't even try to be a democracy until 1865, until the in the wake of the Civil War. It is also worth remembering just like how successful we were right at first in that effort.
Reconstruction.
During Reconstruction. And just to give an example, like if you look at Mississippi in 1867, something like 66% of black men, because women couldn't vote, but of black men were registered to vote in the state of Mississippi in 1867.
People would love to have that number of people voting today.
Today, right? You know? 100 years of Jim Crow unfold following that, and by 1955, fewer than 5% of black people in the state of Mississippi were registered to vote.
5%.
Right? So you have this massive collapse. Voting Rights Act is passed in 1965. Within a couple of years, black voter registration in Mississippi back up into the 60-something percentiles. That's what that law did. It was so remarkably successful. It's like one of the most successful laws in the history of laws, but it is dead and gone now. So, Carter, I wanted to talk to somebody who knows all this history we're talking about, but also who has been really engaged in the fight for voting rights in the South, really her whole life and my whole life. And so I called up Stacey Abrams, who folks will remember rose to national prominence in 2018 when she ran for governor of Georgia and almost won.
I covered her race a lot at the time. And had she won, she would have been the first female black governor anywhere in the United States. But of course, she didn't. She lost to Brian Kemp, who remains the governor of Georgia today.
Right. But she lost that race narrowly, I will say, by like 1.7 percentage points. And there is, she argued at the time and made a credible case that voter suppression was part of why. And so she spent her time ever since then, and really before that, but certainly since then, advocating for voting rights in the South, trying to figure out how you can build more black political power in the South and therefore change America's politics. And I wanted to ask her, does she feel now like me, you know, that like in spite of all that, we're kind of back to the 1860s and what we're facing? And is it going to take another 100 years of activism to get democracy just to the place it was when I was born?